Yeah, I think like bodybuilding was what helped everything else in my life actually happen. So I think that was just what I was missing. I think that's what people sometimes get out of the military when they're young. Like that's what they need to like to help them. I mean, it doesn't help everybody, but I do think there's those personalities that like thrive on that. I mean, I'll give anybody the benefit of the doubt, you know what I mean? But be transparent, because I think transparency is the new currency for anything, any business, especially business with money. Like, people don't want to be schmooze. They just want to know that you're going to be authentic. You're going to do as you say, and you're just going to get things done, and you know how to put out fires. Investors don't think that things are always running perfectly. But like updates to the investors, I always add a lot more to it because I feel like it's not like fully everything going on. I feel like It's like everything is growing great. I'm like, no, well, this kind of sucked. So we're going to explain that.
Alexia, thank you so much for joining me on Pressure Tested today. We are so excited to have you.
So excited to be here.
Let's just get right into it. You have, you know, normally when I talk to guests, they, you know, have one job and one company and, you know, everybody kind of knows them for this one thing, but that's really not the case with you. So I just want to start from the very beginning. You know, where did you grow up? How did you get to Dallas? And how did you get to what you're doing now?
It's actually kind of funny because everyone's like, what do you do? I'm like, do you have 10 minutes? But yeah, grew up Colchester, Connecticut, so random, but from Greek immigrant family members. So kind of like Greeklish in the house, but my whole life was in Connecticut and there's really not much there. It's pretty sometimes in the fall, but like, you know, it was fun. There's bonfires. Like, what do you do as a kid in Connecticut is you're going to party in the woods?
It's so weird because I mean, I grew up watching Gilmore Girls and it's still like something that I always watch and they're from Connecticut. And I just have this idea that like everybody in Connecticut has this like super magical little life. Is that not the case?
Well, I also grew up kind of in poverty too. Yeah. So I think I was like on the outskirts of what was normal and like also a very chaotic household and kind of, I don't know, taught myself everything. Well, actually it was more like observing, you know, not really asking questions. But I think that's what actually helped me my entire life is you're observant and you kind of like figure out what you want to do. But I always knew I was meant for more. But I mean, I didn't move to Texas until 5 years ago, 2021.
Okay. So where do you go after Connecticut? Were you in Connecticut?
Yeah. My entire life. My husband too. Oh, okay. I met him at the gym, ironically.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay, cool.
So he grew up in Glassbury, Connecticut. His family was here since like the 1700s on the boat. So,
oh my gosh.
And they were farmers.
Cool.
Yeah, and it's funny is like his parents are doctors, but they grew up in poverty, so that he's not spoiled. But we have very similar ways of life or ways we want to live our life, similar values, which is kind of funny when you kind of compare our upbringings. But I don't like to like dwell on that too much either, because I do feel like we are, you know, not to bash anybody, but excuse prone kind of society.
And for sure,
I don't really have too much empathy for that unless you are putting in proper effort and. Mm-hmm. Not using that as an
excuse.
Yeah, and that bugs me to my core. And I think, you know, I'll give anybody some leeway, but don't ask for things and then do the opposite.
Yeah.
And then ask yourself why you're still in the same
bucket. Totally agree. I mean, yeah, but I think that you recognize that because you're so far removed from it now. And you did it on your own. And so you know that if you can do it, then anybody else can do it as well. And so it just makes it really hard to give people any leeway with that kind of stuff.
If you
did it yourself.
I did have a little time in my 20s where I struggled with empathy for a little bit because I think I went a little bit too on the logical, emotional scale. I was like, I am logic only. Because, you know, emotional felt unsafe, unsecure. I didn't like it. I like, because I grew up with emotion. I like the logic. I'm going to stay there. But to be a proper human being, you need to kind of be in the middle and have like a mix of that logical, emotional, and have some empathy. So I was like,
somebody should probably like wake me up with that message.
It's
because
tough. It's really
I'm
tough.
Pretty much all logic. And it's so funny. Like I've never, honestly, like I've never put that together with my upbringing.
Yeah.
But you're so dead on with that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, introspection's fun sometimes,
I try to skip out almost that stuff, but yeah, it's great.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly too, my husband, like I do have a lot of respect for, so I do trust his judgment. If I'm like, you know, a lot of my 20s, I had to like be like, hey, does this make sense? So I think having someone to bounce that off of that you do trust was really huge for me to make sure that like, that makes sense in my brain, right? But anyways, like we were working together. I was trying to become a state cop. So random. And I was working for an attorney that hated cops. which was really funny. We had a respect for each other because we call each other out. But besides that, he was working per diem at the hospital as a registered dietitian, still in bodybuilding. We were both kind of in bodybuilding. He was a pro. I was not. But he was, you know, his business on the side was like taking off. And I'm looking, I'm like, you have like 30K in receivables. Do you want me to help? He's like, sure. So, you know, me helping is, and then I was just like, okay, I'm revamping the website. I'm redoing this. I'm going to get my certifications on the side. I'm doing this. I revamped the billing. So, and then all of a sudden we're like, within a matter of 6 months, we're both working from home. Wow. So, because it started to grow. And, you know, I think he was just missing that efficiency piece,
sure,
which I love to do. And I was pushing off his reputation and his knowledge.
Tell me exactly what that business does.
We coach people worldwide with nutrition.
Okay.
And so that's my main business. Been doing it over a decade. He's been doing it, I don't know, 20 years now. But we've been officially partners for about, I don't know, 10, 11 years in that business since we started dating. Wow. So we've been home together, working together 24/7 since we started dating.
But you guys have such a good relationship. Like when I hear you, I know a lot of married women. And not all of them talk about their husbands the way you talk about yours.
Well, I do make fun of them a lot, but that's how I show my love.
When you talk about your husband, you don't realize this, but you light up. Mm. You just have so much respect and love for him. Like it's kind of sad, and like it's sad for me to be like, hey, I don't see that all the time. But I don't see that all the time. I really don't.
Also, too, helping so many people over the years, we've seen so many relationships break down. Mm. And I think that's why we're always like really on point to try to be like, hey, like, what did you mean? Because our biggest issue, we don't have many issues like most people do. Like, yeah, during COVID, people had issues because they were home together. And I'm like, no, we were always home together. Like, the only thing I could do less with is like, where are you going? The bathroom. Yeah. Probably going to pee. Like, that's all I could do without that. That'd be great.
My husband does that to me too. I'm like,
and he texts a lot.
Oh, like, really?
Talking to me? No, like, not talking to me again. Okay, cool. But like, besides the little things, but we're also not nagging at each other. We are really respectful of like, we're really good partners. Like if he has a really heavy day and I'm picking up some slack, and so be it. But our biggest issue is actually understanding each other's communication and perception. Like if I kind of misinterpret what he says. I know his intent is very pure at this point in my life. Like, I do know that he never is malicious in his intent. So that does help me regulate my reactions. But the interpretation, because we all see things through a different lens.
Right.
So I'm just like, I think I took that very wrong. Can you state what you meant again? Wow. But we do have these check-ins with each other. And I do think we both have this humility. And if he didn't have that, like, people look at him and assume that he's probably not, because he's jacked. And,
yeah.
But he has a lot of humility. I am trying to make him my gay best friend every day and make fun of him, me and my best friend that live with me. He is hilarious because he just kind of goes with it, but he's just like, whatever. Like, yeah. Because he doesn't care. I had a makeup artist make me him one Halloween. Like, I had the perfect nose. It was a perfect white dude, straight nose. And I had blue contacts, and I like wore a muscle suit, and I extra padded the butt because he has a giant butt. She made him into me. We went for wigs, and he was like,
oh my gosh, I'm like, that's okay. So funny.
And he full makeup. He wore the, what do they call it? The scrunch butt leggings that I bought for him 8 months prior because
I buy
him weird things all the time. Usually with my face on it. Usually. But he wore that. He was rocking it. Crop top. Gosh.
That is so funny.
Like our friends wouldn't look at us for the entire night, but it was actually really funny.
But you should just send us a picture of that. I bet it's really funny.
We'll put it into the actually a little scary. I do not look good like that. People would.
No, you're in it now.
I do also make fun of his butt constantly. It's a shelf. We could make so much money if he would just let me
Maybe you should. I mean, so you talked about he has 70,000 followers on Instagram.
Yeah, he didn't even know what Instagram was when we started his account. Yes.
That's so funny. So you guys trained some of the premier athletes. Like, tell me a little bit about this.
Honestly, it's funny because the majority of our clients are not bodybuilders.
Okay.
But you would never know that because, they don't let us post them as much. And they're not, primarily what is posted. Because, honestly, we suck at marketing. People think we're great. Like, no. I am horrible. I won the Arnold with a client back in 2020. I think I forgot to post about it. And, No, I don't know. It's just so funny that, you know, people assume. But I'm like, no, but they just let us share their photos more. Yeah. My husband, though, his popularity has gone crazy the past few years. I mean, he's always been known as a very respectful coach, very health forward, very health conscious. Because, to be honest, people come to us and I'm like, what are you doing? When was the last time you had your blood work done?
Why?
Well,
because
bodybuilding,
like putting,
bodybuilding can be very unhealthy. One, two, if you're over 30, get your blood work done. Like, at least get a baseline for what's going on. If you have any family history, get it done sooner. I do think too, people are just, you know, afraid of doing that. Like, I had a best friend when I was young, like afraid to check her mail because there's bills in there. Mm. So yeah, I'm like, oh, people are
like that.
It's
like being afraid to check your bank account.
Yeah, I actually love paying bills. I know that's like the weirdest thing to say, but because I remember making 12 grand a year living on my own, being hungry. So I love paying bills because I can.
Yeah.
Okay. And
that's
I'm like,
fair.
Check.
Yeah, that's like, great. I get it.
I think it's like, I don't know, I think that's how I retrained my perception of that. Yeah. Like, but I get it. So I because I've worked with so many different women, I kind of have to understand how they view things. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, we have to pivot around that. I'm not trying to like cater to everybody in a certain way. But because you work with so many different personalities, you do have to learn how to coach people in different ways.
No, I totally agree with that.
I mean, same with your job and how you lead people can be different depending on who it is and the job it is.
100%. You have to change your management style I have to change my management style for each individual person that I manage.
Mm-hmm.
You have to. But I've also been through a lot of different nutrition programs that were one size fits all. They're like, do it like this and like that's how you're going to do it. And you're going to follow these exact rules. And I was like, this is just like not for me.
Some people need that. But in my opinion, majority of women, I'm not saying all, there's always outliers. But the majority of women, when they get into these types of programs, actually any type of business, any new venture is all or nothing.
Mm.
And that's what I think is the issue. It's because they look at it like that and then they're stuck like that. And then they do something wrong, which isn't really wrong. And then they're like, well, I failed. And then they're done.
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, if you just follow the basics and just start there, you don't even need a coach for a bit. Like focus. Well, how's your sleep? How's your stress management? How's your movement? We're all sitting way too much.
Are you drinking too much?
I mean, I actually am a camel. I set reminders to drink water. Yeah.
I'm talking about booze. So
but
I know.
I pivoted. Yes. Like, I want to feel dehydrated tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to sip some wine. I do sip wines in sippy cups though, because I'm clumsy and
I spill
everywhere. Yeah, I do now. I went like 8 years. Well, I just started at 12. started at 12 to like 19 or so and then stopped because of bodybuilding. And then, started again, I think, I don't know, 27, 28-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah, so now it's – I can't handle it as good.
Yeah.
That was interesting to find out.
No, it's great that you stopped for bodybuilding. You just knew that there wasn't a place for it when you were trying to compete.
Yeah, I've never had an addictive personality, maybe with certain things. We can get into the psyche evaluation later. But with drinking, it was more just an escape when I was young. Mm-hmm. I still, like, did fine in school. I would miss a lot of school. Like, get my credit back, weirdly. But yeah, that was just an escape. I don't think I was ever addicted. It was the social aspect and just, you know, getting out of the house. But I tried to get addicted to cigarettes. I think I told you this a while ago. I spent 2 weeks. I was like, diligent. I'm going to do this. I was 15. I was like, I'm going to see what the hype is about. I don't get it. And I couldn't get addicted to them.
Thank God.
I really tried.
That's good. That's great for you.
But anyways, yeah. And then bodybuilding, I think that's why I'm like, I do a lot of veteran work. I'm very patriotic and I really like discipline and like mindset, that type of stuff. I mean, I also like true crime, so I don't know what that says about me. But I don't like it. I like learning about it. Okay.
You probably want to understand why people do those things. I think that's just more about like your personality, just you're inquisitive and you want to kind of understand.
Yes.
So,
but
that makes sense.
Yeah, that whole concept is like, when I found bodybuilding, it was like the discipline that I was missing my entire life. And it was like the structure I was like craving. Like I would stay at friends' houses when I was young for like 1 to 2 weeks until they brought me home. I don't even think I ever asked to leave. I think we might eat all their Hot Pockets and they're like, you are done. And I'm like, okay, thank you so much. Would you like anything cleaned? Like I would do dishes there when I would never clean up my own house. But like I liked learning different family structures and it was fun for me. I was like, there's rules. When's bedtime?
They're like, because you didn't have that at home at all. Wow.
It was very chaotic. So like, I was just like, okay. So I think, you know, I moved out, I think 17, 18, around that cusp. I had
That's
like
young.
So many apartments of my own by the time I didn't own them yet. Yeah. So I had apartments of my own. By the time I was 21, I think I had 7 different ones. Wow. And yeah, I think like bodybuilding, the structure was what helped everything else in my life actually happen. Like, so because of that and how diligent I was at that, everything else got better. Mm. So I think that was just what I was missing. I think that's what people sometimes get out of the military when they're young. Like that's what they need to like to help them. I mean, it doesn't help everybody, but I do think there's those personalities that like thrive on that. So even though right now, if you ask me, if you wanted every day to look the same, would you be okay? I would be like, I would die.
Yeah.
I cannot have every day be the same.
But whenever you were, so kind of walk us through this. Because I'm always interested in like how people are able to really do this, how they have the discipline to do this. Like walk us through what a day when you were in your prime bodybuilding, what would a day look like for you?
I'd wake up early and I am.
Yeah, I'm not much of a morning person either.
I tried, but it's never stuck. And I just think that's who I am. But I would wake up at like really early, 6:30, because I had work. Usually I would always work a full-time job while in school full-time. And I would always make my classes in college go from 3 to 9 once a week. Like, you know, so I had 6 classes, whatever, a week. That way I could work, you know, in the morning, do that. And then usually go to the gym after classes or before, depending on how the schedule worked out.
Okay.
I think one time I was living with a random Irish dude that found me broken down on a road. That's a story. But anyways, he was great. He was a great guy. He would always have like stews and teas. And I was like, you should talk more. But then he would spit. And I was like, I love you guys. The Irish are great. And a big floofy dog. Side note, had tea on his grave on his birthday when I was in Ireland. Love that guy. Anyways, so I remember that I would just go home and pass out and do it all over again. But I was constantly driving, constantly.
How many hours were you working out?
Oh, 1 to 2 hours max, but it was like 6 times a week when you're wow. training, because I would always have to do cardio. So if I had to do cardio and I had to do a lot of cardio, that would add an extra hour. Because wow. back then it was not as healthy as it is now. Now if I'm training a girl for a show, if I have to do a lot of cardio, we don't have enough muscle. Mm. Like I'm not killing people to get them on stage these
so,
days.
So what you're saying is that you have to do a lot of cardio because you're trying to cut
yep.
for the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was always really good at gaining muscle, weirdly. Yeah. I like to eat. So that was really, I was a bitch when I was hungry.
It's not super easy for women to get to.
Hormonally, you'll be off. You'll probably lose your menses, period, everything like that.
Really?
Oh, yeah, 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 for sure.
You lost your menstrual period?
Yeah, yeah.
Every time. So like, what was your body fat when you would go?
I've never checked that.
Really?
Yeah, I never go by body fat.
But you could probably like, you probably
it's a look.
By a look.
It's a look, yeah.
So you were like 10 to 15, sub 10?
Probably sub 10, but like.
Whoa.
But with women, like you have to be like paper thin and it's not comfortable. You're sitting down, you're like, my bones and my butt hurt. Like it's not comfortable.
Okay, how tall are you?
5'2".
What did you weigh at a competition?
Oh, I remember when I first looked in the mirror and I was like, I need to work out. I remember looking, I had like a little tie around my belly. I was always really tiny. Like growing up, that small
girl
in your grade, I had no muscle. I think my arms were like the size of my wrist. And I was always like very weak. I couldn't even lock my leg when I was in cheer, like a wow. flyer in cheer. And then I remember like graduating or whatever, getting really into lifting. And then I really into making buffalo chicken mac and cheese as unhealthy as you can. And I was like, why is there a tire on my belly? Oh, okay. So it caught up. And then I was like, that was me 110 pounds fat.
Okay.
5'2". No muscle at all. No butt, nothing. Okay. Okay. And I remember, okay, I need to fix this. And all yeah. of a sudden I was in. And that's when I started actually really getting into it. I was never like super obsessive, but obsessive more than, you know, your standard yeah. girl. And then I saw a friend of a friend do a show. I was like, I'm going to do that. So then I just started training for it. But the first wow. time I stepped on stage, I was like 102 pounds, but still had too much fat on me, which is kind of funny.
That's wild.
Yeah, because I remember being 130 pounds shredded at one point. Like where
really?
If I tried to get lower than that, now I'm smaller. I have way less muscle. So I think like my shredded point would probably be in the teens. But I mean, to be honest, I've always been above the BMI chart, even when I was like fine, because I had more muscle mass. So the BMI chart is just
BMI chart's dumb. Stupid, yeah.
My husband, he's overweight for health insurance. I'm like, he has abs. At all times. He eats a lot of cookies and still has abs. Okay, I'm a little mad at him, but like that's fine.
That's funny.
Pain in my butt. Like, I'm like, I keep the house super cold because I'm a sweaty person. Okay.
Really?
And he complains. And I'm like, you either get fat or put a sweatshirt on. I got him those alpaca mittens that he can still type with.
You keep, even during the day, you keep your house super cold?
Yeah.
Dang.
Yes. I don't know why I get sweaty all the time. Like, I'll get bits of sweat.
Oh, that's probably, like, I've always thought that people are like that, it's like metabolism or something.
It's
like,
you think. No, it's just, I'm insane.
Okay, all right. So you guys are bodybuilders. You meet, you get together. He's, you know, he's got this company. You join as a partner. Mm-hmm. And then what do you guys kind of do next?
We ride that wave. It grew 250% per year after that first year we became partner, and it just kept going and going.
That's insane.
Always word of mouth, always just, and then it built up to where we could handle more clients with the same amount of time. So we just got more and more efficient, more and more efficient.
Wow.
And it's, I don't think it would work if both of us weren't, didn't have the work ethics we have, because we both have very high work drives.
Yeah.
I do know, like, you remember in the beginning when I was still like, I think I was finishing up my degree or something while planning our wedding, while building up the business. You know, I always have to do 15 things at once for some reason. And I remember, like, you know, hey, no phone. We set like some rules, like no phone after this time, because we weren't detaching. We still struggle with that these days, but we try to, you know, find little ways to break that cycle. But, you know, sometimes we're going all day and we're exhausted. I'm like, hey, when are you ending work? He's like 9. I'm like, okay, I'll work till then.
Wow.
We just keep going.
Y'all work all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But you love it, so.
We do. And it's like, I can make my life the way I want it. I can break for a nap, honestly, if I want, with all the dogs, you know, cuddle with all the fur. Or I can schedule my gym time when I want to. Like, I do feel like I made myself unemployable because of the way I've been able to live my life.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but the bright side is, man, you've built your entire life. You get to do exactly what you want to do at whatever time of day. Like, I think that's everybody's dream.
Yeah. And I do think that it, like, if you think about, you know, I remember someone is saying there was the COO job you should look into. I was like, okay. But then I compared the price point. There's a ceiling to that. I compared the time. I have to go into an office. I have to deal with somebody else's rules. I have to wear pants.
Yeah.
that's annoying. Okay. I don't like doing that. I can't be with my dogs all day.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's just like, I know that, like, there is a price that's put on just the freedom to live your life the way you want to live it. You know what I mean? And I feel very fortunate. Like, I'm the only one out of poverty in my family too. So it's like, I never thought I could even have a house like I have. Like, you know, like, sometimes I still look around and I'm like, so fortunate. But then I also feel like, oh, I could lose it at any second. That's, you know, you don't want to think that way, but I do fight my mind from going that way. So that's why it's like, I'm thankful my husband and I are same way of have a nest egg. Make sure we save this much, you know, live beneath the means, so we're not stressed out to like always be on that cusp. But I've always handled our finances and the business side of things. He hates that stuff.
Really?
Hates it.
Well, that's good. At least you're not fighting over, you know what I mean?
No.
Fighting to kind of have that control. Like, it's,
the only thing that's an issue is, like, he's like, wait, why are the taxes like this? I'm like, I don't know how to teach you about taxes right now because he's very black and white thinker. And I'm like, well, that depends. And I'm like, oh, crap, this is going to be a tough conversation. Like, but I want him to know, but, like, it has to be in a part where I'm not stressing out.
Yeah.
Like, so now we have, like, little financial meetings. Or, like, this is what you should know. This is how much we spent in tolls.
Yeah.
Like, you should know that one.
That's funny. So you set aside time when you both have the right brain for it.
Yeah.
Okay, so when did you decide that you were going to buy an apartment complex?
Oh my God, we just got to Texas, I think. It was 2021, and we moved here for freedom, for one. Two, we had a client that lived near here, and we're like, how do you like it? It was between here, Florida, North Carolina, or Tennessee, I don't know. But we just loved North Texas when we came here. I was like, this is it. And we knew no one, really, besides clients we had all over, but, like, no one close. And I bought a house sight unseen because we kept getting into bidding wars. So that was
really fun.
Yeah, we moved across
the country. Oh, so that's right, COVID. So.
Yeah,
okay.
Across country with 5 dogs at the time, not 6. I made it so we logistically would, he was driving the U-Haul, I was driving the truck, and we would drive half days, work half days. But I had to ask Airbnbs, hey, I have 5 dogs, but hear me out. Here are their photos. I brought a vacuum. And then, like, so because some of them, like, weren't even allowing dogs, but I was like, please. And then they were like, okay. But that was interesting.
And 4 of the dogs are real little, right?
Yes. So that's why I'm like, hear me out. Like, I even have to get them approved because we're moving soon. Like, I had to get them approved by the city. I'm like, here's a photo. I don't know how else
because to say. You have that many dogs. Like,
2 big, 4 little. So yeah. Six.
What do you mean you had to get it approved with the city?
You can only have you have a limit with HOAs. You have a limit with cities. Yeah, you have a limit. Yeah, and people will actually try. I'm like, I'm not getting rid of my dogs.
Yeah.
Like, I'll get rid of you before I get rid of my dogs. So sorry. But like, no, half of them are senior. All the little ones are seniors anyways.
I really wish you would have brought at least like three of them.
I was thinking about bringing Stuart. Stuart's
which one's Stuart? Is Stuart the old little one?
He's a like black tan mix. Oh. He's a beautiful.
Okay,
hey. He's my heart baby.
Totally side comment, but we're having I've already told
you
this.
Oh, the cutest
but you
dog
have to do
contest?
This. Yes, okay. We're having the cutest dog contest. You can enter it six times if you want. You just have to follow us at Ask Moss.
Deal.
At Ask Moss and submit them all because it's like, it's funny, but it's like we're actually having a hard time getting people to submit their dogs. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Just send me the link. I'll get people.
Okay, all right. I'll get people. Please, because I'm like, I am trying to give away good money
I
to
even
somebody
know,
with
like,
a cute dog.
Even like, my friend's rescue, the powerful rescue, she's like, a genius in marketing too. So if you know anybody that needs marketing advice, just go to that freaking page. But she does the medical cases, the overbred, the elderly, and I got Jeff from her.
Is that the dog that I met? What dog?
Jeff is the one you met. He has an underbite, a big lip,
he's so
a big butt.
Sweet. I have the cutest picture of him. I showed everybody that picture.
My husband's like, everybody says he's handsome. He's like, are they blind?
He is handsome.
I'm like,
oh
stop
gosh,
making fun of Jeffrey.
He's the cutest. I love that
They
dog.
Named him Branch. I was like, he's a Jeff or a Fred.
Okay, so when we went to lunch, I was like, okay, we both are pretty heavy ADHD, so I have no idea how this podcast is going to go.
They're going to go every
but
direction.
But we're going to circle back to you when
we
you
haven't even gone to commercial
apartment.
Real estate yet, girl.
Yeah, I know. I'm like trying to get us
there. Let's take a shot now.
Keep going. Yeah. Keep going.
Chug.
Okay, so you get to Texas. You like Texas.
Yeah. I had an enlightenment moment.
Yeah, okay. So I'm glad you're here.
So I have a collection of hobbies. No, apartments weren't in there, but it should be. But I was like, I got to the point where I was kind of burnt out from like helping clients so much. I always love it. It's fulfilling for me. But it's like, I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. Our business technically, if you think about it, has an expiration date.
Right.
And because it's us. And like we do have associate coaches now that work under us, but it's not something it's like my water hydration business. We can build that up. Drink more, by the way. We can build that up and then eventually sell it, you know, once it gets to a certain point. But this business, this is our heart business. This is our name, our brand. But it's not forever. So I was like, but I've always wanted to buy apartments because I know real estate is something that is good. And I'm really good with people. And I'm like, I went to him one day out of the blue. Hey, Chris, I want to buy apartments. He's like, excuse me, what? And I was like, I want to buy apartments. He's like, okay. All right. I was like, okay, I have a conference next week I'm going to go to. He's like, okay, so I want to make sure we save this much a month. You don't touch this bank account and then you can invest the rest. I was like, okay, cool. Because his rest level's low, mine's high. We're going to meet in the middle.
That's good.
Yeah, I know that I can't like do everything I want. I try. But I knew that was the way to go. But I started in the roughest time to start, to be honest. Like maybe it was the best time to start in hindsight because you learn of how many people messed up and what people did. And there are a lot of scumbags. Okay, in every industry. I've learned, but I didn't really see that as much with my nutrition industry because I was kind of my own bubble.
Yeah.
You don't need a partner as much. You don't need to have as many lender or vendor relationships.
Sure.
And with the apartments, I'm just like, I know how to deal with people, make people happy and connect people. I know how to do like efficiencies. And then I learned my first time walking apartment complex. I was like, I don't know shit about apartments because I grew up in one. I don't even know how to mow a lawn. I'm like, this is a water heater. That's cool. So I had to bring someone in to walk them with me. I was like, how's the roof? Check the roof. And then I'm just looking over the documents and then taking photos of things because I'm going to have it send it to my buddy later to be like, what kind of thing is this?
So when did you buy your first one? What year?
Well, the first deal I ever had, I lost a lot of money in it. Not people's money, but it was a shit show. I trusted and didn't verify the right person. And then it taught me a lot about partnering.
Okay. Are you going to walk me through the whole deal? I want to hear what
happened. God, it was two deals. One in North Georgia, one in North Carolina. This also made me learn a lot of things where one, I'm buying where I can drive to.
Smart.
I didn't realize how much of a control freak I am. I'm a control freak that can be reasoned with.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. We should make that a thing. Repeat that and make it really fun. but it's a thing. Okay. It's a thing. I'm not lying. But I can be reasoned with.
Okay.
I don't think I'm always right. I do think that I can see things in a decent way to make things grow and blossom. But that deal, there was like, I remember the North Carolina one. It like, I trusted that the guy did the right due diligence because my stuff was over here. It was like four of us and we all had a lot of money in, us four. And then there was two other partners that didn't have money in, but we're all liable for whatever money is put out. Well, one guy was signing away our earnest money without us realizing it. So we lost, I think, over 200K collectively.
Really?
Yeah, that was a hurt one. But I was happy to get out of it before, you know, because I pushed my investors out of it when I realized something wasn't right before I peeled back the layers. Because that, I was just like, why is my gut feeling off? And I have a really strong gut if I listen to it. And that was the first time I was like, unsure if my gut was just like that because it was new or if it was really my gut telling me. So that was when I was a little bit unsure of the gut response.
But now you trust it.
Yeah. But I also have an ex-FBI PI that I run on everybody and a credit check.
That's good. That's smart.
Backs up the gut check.
Did you lose on the other one too?
No.
So you lost
those two deals were collective and I just walked away from both.
Got it.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I've had some people that I've met that have surprised me with their character or their lack of integrity with certain things. Like, and I think it's because it's not my main business. That it's like I don't need the money from the deal, so I can look at things from almost a different lens than some. But there's a lot of people that will like, you know, I'm like, I don't want to be a slumlord. Yeah. Like that's not, I do think you can run the apartment business lean, but not be an a-hole. Mm-hmm. Like there are ways to do that, but there are just people out there that are just going to make as much money as they can and they don't care about people. And that's my problem. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you may be too nice for that industry.
Yes and no. Don't mess with me and then I'll be nice to you. I get underestimated a lot, which I think is a superpower.
Well, that is a superpower. I think that's part of also just being a woman, though.
Yeah.
I think naturally people underestimate you. But I think that, you know, sometimes business is just so fucking cutthroat.
I also don't schmooze. I make a lot of inappropriate jokes at the wrong time. I made a crayon dildo joke. I think within first 2 minutes of like a developer call. And then the two guys that were on it with me that are younger, they were like nervous laughing. I'm like, oh, this is gonna be funny. He was a Marine. Okay, it makes sense if you know the Marine crayon issues.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
It's fine. Look it up later. Look up crayons and Marines. Okay. but by the end of the call, we were like best friends. And then I went to the two guys that I knew and like, you were nervous. I saw that. They were just like, oh my God, don't do that again. I was like, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
How many deals do you think you've walked away from?
Oh, so many. So I spent the first 8 months just learning how to underwrite by myself.
Okay.
That was before I even started walking them. All right. And then because you have to know that. And now I offsource my underwriting to one guy I actually trust because he makes every deal not work. But I do trust his underwriting skills because we've known each other for so long and we've gone through it. But that took a while. And then you have to underwrite almost 200 deals before you find the right one that fits.
Really?
Yeah. And like, honestly, it's relationship building too. Like you have to, like brokers will go to somebody they know will close first before it's even on the market. So that's why I do a lot of networking. I'll talk to anybody. I used to host commercial real estate meetups before I even knew anything.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. It's because I didn't know anybody here. And I was like, I'm just going to start a meetup and meet people. And, you know, I do know my superpowers is that I can talk to anybody about anything, whether they want to or not. So, whatever. I think also a powerhouse of ADHD is we know so many things.
Yeah.
We can relate to somebody somehow in so many different ways because there's like, what topic is that? I was into Lego once too. Okay, so what did you build? Let me just get it.
So people come to you now with these deals?
Yeah.
Are you still like out having to canvas for them?
It's actually finally caught up where it does get back. People are like, why do you do so much for others? And like, do you get value? I'm like, well, yeah, like I do like helping people. I do a lot of things for free. So I do need to, you know, say no more. And that's always been a thing of mine I have to do. I do thrive in chaos. So, but, you know, I do love connecting good people to good people doing good things. So that's kind of how I do it. And eventually they think of me when they have something. And it does eventually come back in that way. And then, of course, if you screw me over, you're on my blacklist.
Yeah.
So that's
fair.
Yeah, if I know that you have that reputation, I mean, I'll give anybody the benefit of the doubt, you know what I mean? But be transparent, because I think transparency is the new currency. Like, for anything, any business, especially business with money.
Yeah.
Any business. but transparency, like, people don't want to be schmoozing anymore. They just want to know that you're going to be authentic, and you're going to say what you're going to do. You're going to do as you say, and you're just going to get things done, and you know how to put out fires. Yep. And I'm like, yeah, I can do that. I'll be honest, too. Like, I'm not going to pretend, like, investors don't think that things are always running perfectly. So like one of the deals I'm in, it's a 76 unit. And I do like the team I'm with. the primary, so I'm secondary. But like their updates to the investors, I always add a lot more to it because I feel like it's not like fully everything going on. I feel like it's like everything is growing great. I'm like, no, well, this kind of sucked. So we're going to explain that. And like, so I'm just like, I don't know. I feel like be transparent. It's great. It makes more sense.
Yeah. Because especially when something actually goes wrong and everybody thought everything was great.
And you build the trust more that way. And again, it's like, I think reputation's more than just one deal. So if a deal goes south, anybody I partner with now, I'm like, we have to be in agreement that we're not going to take our cut. It goes to the investors with whatever we have. Because I think my relationship with these people that put their trust in me is going to be way longer than this one deal. And they're going to know I tried to do everything to make right. I haven't had a deal go that way, but like that's an agreement.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I love that.
It just makes me like, how can you, I don't know, take money from the deals and your investors just get nothing or they only get like their base amount back? Like that's just weird to me.
Yeah.
And integral. Well,
it will be the last deal they do with you for sure.
Yeah. And that's, and a lot of my investors are people that know us from the nutrition company.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask you, how did you get a, you know, how did you say, okay, I'm going to go buying apartments and okay, somebody invest your money with me, even though I really don't know what I'm doing.
I really like, didn't think that would be my niche. And to be honest, I really like operations more, but people trust me and my husband because again, we've always been very open and authentic and they know a lot of my bad jokes. I think that might be it. I'm going to say that's it. I'm just very open. I think when I have the one-on-ones with Zoom with people, that's rooted when I really can get, I'm not very good at like marketing to the masses, but I'm really good at, okay, hey, like tell me what you need. I don't really talk about like, you should invest with me. I'm asking if, doesn't this make sense to you? Do you have a nest egg? What are the goals? Like, I don't know if this is the right fit for you. Like I have some people that like, I really want cash flow and I have a development fund coming up. I'm like, well, that's not going to work for you.
Yeah.
But there are people that will take somebody's last 50K and put it into their deal and say, whatever.
So, okay, well, that's really big of you, especially if people want to invest with you. You kind of make sure that it makes sense for them.
Oh, 100%. Because it's like, I don't know. There's something, like, I just would not feel comfortable.
Yeah. So it's people that you've known and you've known through the nutrition company.
Or they found me and then we just have a conversation and they like the way I do business.
Wow.
That too. Because I'm very visual, so I'll take them through like a past deal of mine. And like, even if I don't have a current deal, I'll tell them like what to look out for, what makes sense. And then I'll have them like, it depends on who they are. I ask them, are you a numbers person or a stories person? Because some people don't want all the numbers. But a majority of people are like engineers or something. I'm like, you want all the numbers, don't you? Yeah. They're like, yeah. I'm like, okay. It's like, so I'll even screenshot my underwriting for some. I had, this is really funny. One woman got taken advantage of a couple years ago. And so we had a meeting. It has to be 2 months now ago. I showed her my Credit Karma.
You did?
Because she was like, I'm nervous to invest again. I'm like, yeah, I would be too. I was like, do you want to see my Credit Karma? She's like, oh, that'd be great. You wouldn't mind? I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to show her my bank accounts. But at least it shows like, you know, your credit score, what your debt ratio is. Yeah. Like it doesn't give you like crazy. I mean, like that's my mortgage. Ignore that. But like, it's all in good standing. So, you know, like, and like, even if I do a credit check on a partner, it's like, even if you killed your credit, you went through a divorce, just let me know, be transparent. Yeah. It's like, I'm not going to hold things against you, but I've dealt with people that try to hide every little thing. And I'm like, you can't do that with me. I'm insane.
Yeah. Like, why do people do that?
I don't know.
So much effort to hide stuff.
Yeah. Like I even told, hi guys. I even told them when I walked in, I was just like, oh yeah, I know everything about, you know, the people I'm buying the house from. And I really like them. They're like, they don't know me yet, but what?
You're gonna get so emotional around this. They're gonna ask you for money back, and you're like, man, maybe they really need it.
Yeah, I mean, here's everything invested. I have. That's fine.
Okay, so you guys are obviously super busy doing all this stuff. How in the world did you guys come up with a hydration brand? How did that happen?
One of our old nutrition clients, who's actually one of the smartest people I know, like super smart, he was like, I have an idea. Do you guys want to be a part of it? We're like, sure. And my husband actually hates it half the time because he doesn't like the business side of things. So that part he does not like. But he was, it's kind of like, he's like the face of it because he formulated it. He's the registered dietitian behind it. So honestly, partially, it's probably because I'm the camel and I don't drink enough water too. So it's basically incentivizing hydration to be drunk all day, but flavored with a little bit of minerals because you do need minerals. Like people like are afraid of sodium. I'm like, no, you need sodium.
Yeah.
It actually helps with hydration.
Yeah, we're a salt family.
Yes.
We put salt on everything.
Unless you're in renal failure, please. You need salt.
Yeah.
And it actually does help overall. You just want to be more consistent. If you're going to do like I don't have my clients like weigh and measure their salt. I'm like, if you do 5 shakes per meal, try to always do 5 shakes a meal or something. I don't know. But stuff like that. So, but it was just kind of something that was behind the scenes. We still kind of, like, I ship from my house. We have a lot of boxes.
Really?
A lot of boxes.
You should bring some up here.
And I will.
We could start buying it from the gym back here.
I mean, we started with just 2 flavors, lemonade and sweet tea, and you mix those like Arnold Palmer. So 3 options. Now we have the blue raspberry and peach mango. So you can mix the lemonade with the blue raspberry, lemonade with the peach. People do all sorts of things with vodka. I know you want to drink right now, don't you?
No. I'm never drinking again.
Sorry. I'm always like poking the bear. If you give me ammunition, I'm just like, boop.
I deserve it. I mean, it's just so, yeah, I don't know. I deserve it. Yeah, I think that's really, do they taste good?
Yeah.
I'm so interested in this idea. Like, I always come up with these, like, crazy ideas of companies that I want to start. And, like, ChatGPT is really good about this stuff now because you can kind of get on there and it'll tell you, like, what you're actually supposed to do. But, like, before ChatGPT, I have no idea how people came up with, like, okay, I'm going to start a water brand. I'm going to start a water hydration brand. Like, who the hell is going to build this? Like, how do you, you know, like, it's crazy to come up with an idea and just get it all the way to the point where you're selling it. Like, I think that's,
I know,
that's amazing.
I like putting out fires. The hydration, the whole thing is a little bit tough though, because I'd rather have it, like, we have to move forward without any dyes, which I'm like, perfect. A couple of them don't, but like, we actually have to have everything, not have it, which I'm like, this is what I wanted in the first place.
Yeah.
But when we did the testing with people, they preferred certain colors. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
But I'm like, doesn't the taste matter more? Like, you know, but
no, the taste does matter more.
Yeah, and there's not that much or anything, but people are a little particular with that regardless. But I'm like, whatever. But it does help overall. It does, like, a lot of our clients, I'm like, they're like, I can't drink straight water, some of them, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I'm like, a little bit goes a long way.
No, I definitely agree that it helps you drink more water. Because if I ever put it in, like, if I ever put something in a Stanley cup, I always drink it a lot more than I will just, like, a regular bottle of water.
Yeah, same.
Unless I'm extremely hungover like I am right now. And as I'm guzzling water today, I'm doing a really good job.
You should just start having snacks, too. I feel like that's a thing.
But I mean, I've had all the snacks. It's so funny you just said this. I've had all the snacks today. Like, I normally do not eat in the mornings. Like, I don't like food in the mornings. I don't really get hungry until about 11:30. That's when I'm ready to have my first meal. And this morning at 7:45 in my pajamas, I'm like driving to, this is going to be so terrible. I don't normally eat like this. Like, no one judge this.
I'm not judging.
But I'm driving to McDonald's to get a sausage McMuffin.
McDonald's is pretty good. McDonald's breakfast, we have to say, really good.
It's hangover food, right?
It's also just good.
I would never eat. You know,
I didn't eat fast food for 8 years just because I didn't, and I also didn't drink.
Eat fast food at all, really. So, so for me to go, like, when I told my husband, I was like, that's where I went for breakfast. He was like, wow, you must have really felt bad. I was like, I felt like shit.
Ooh, do you know what I just had that was, like, amazing? And I didn't realize. What? Those little chickens in a little blanket at the Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A?
Yeah.
Oh, I've never had. Oh, yeah, they're like the
breakfast
those.
Little
I get
things.
Those for breakfast sometimes.
Little blankies.
Yeah, anything
like bao buns.
Chick-fil-A is good.
Okay.
I feel like Chick-fil-A is, like, it's like, everybody thinks it's healthy, but there's nothing healthy about it.
I haven't had it enough, but because, okay, when you train your body to eat a certain way, you feel good.
Yeah.
And then when you have things that are not good, you feel shitty. And then I'm like, do normal people just feel shitty all the time? Like,
dude, yes.
Yes, but they get used to it. But because when you find yourself with that high energy and drive and function and your brain, your cognitive function's like there, you're like, this is amazing. Then I have one cookie and I'm like,
that's what's wrong with me right now. Like, I'm not living my life right. Obviously, like, I'm just struggling.
We're allowed
right
to drink sometimes, woman. It's okay.
Like,
just
I
do some push-ups with me after.
What's wrong with me? Oh, yeah. So it was so funny when I was... Okay.
Dallas Business Journal, yes, woman honoring.
Yes, yes. I was at the Dallas Business Journal. women, what is it?
Women in business.
Whatever.
Honorees.
We both
2025.
I met you. I was like, then I looked you up on Instagram. I was like, oh, she's like a bodybuilder. I was like, she's like jacked. And I was like, I'm going to challenge her to a push-up contest.
That's what I do.
And so I came back the next day and I told her trainer right here in the gym, I was like, Kyle. I'm gonna beat this, and I showed him your picture. I was like, I'm gonna beat her in a push-up contest. Let's get going. He's like, Kelly, I'll help you any way that you want me to help you, but this is not gonna happen. Like, you need to set your expectations real low on this one. Like,
do you know that every time I'm at like a network event for commercial real estate, there is a push-up contest that gets that I do with people.
Okay, all right. How many push-ups can you do?
I don't know. It depends. Because also, honestly, I do them actually more tricep focused, weirdly, because also I've had, these are not real.
Yeah.
So like, no one knows. Okay. Now you do. But like,
except everyone listens to this.
I had nothing. Okay. I built pecs back in the day. Because it was a board. And I was like, I want to be normal. But anyways, so I do the more triceps. Yes, tangents of boobs. I do the more tricep based. So it really depends on my weight. Like if I'm heavier, I have to do less. If I'm not, then it just depends on when my triceps burn out.
Yeah. But you're saying 50 push-ups.
No, I mean, when I was at my strongest, oh yeah, that was easy. Pull-ups, I used to be able to do so many. Yeah, I was insane.
That's insane.
Yeah. I really liked being very strong. But bodybuilding's actually not for strength. It's for show.
Yeah.
And then I never really knew my maxes back in the day. But I did stop competing actually in my early 20s. I didn't keep competing like Chris. Like, I was never a pro. And also, like, I was just sick of training my body to fit into categories. I just got so annoyed with it. And I was so – hate being hungry, man.
No.
So what I would do is – love food.
Fair.
So what I did is they call me a fitness chameleon because I would still change my body constantly. Just for like, I would just do photo shoots because they would still make me be uncomfortable, right? Yeah. But it had gave me kind of a deadline and a goal, and I didn't have to get my body past the point where it was actually unhealthy lean. I got lean enough for the photo shoots.
That
was kind of fun. And I was able to change my body and play around with things a lot. So I was really jacked one year, really tiny the next, and like go back and
insane.
Forth.
So with your female clients that you coach, like, you know, which ones do you see be successful? Like, what has to happen? What mindset shift has to happen to make somebody successful?
The ones that really just go with the flow. Because the mindsets that are like, cortisol is always freaking high, and they're worrying about every single day, and my weight has, I'm like, chill. And you don't tell women to chill.
Yeah.
But like.
Yeah, I bet that goes over
well. Yeah, so calm down. It doesn't work. But like, the ones that are really just trusting the process and not worrying about all the numbers and just knowing that, you know, it takes time, and they just, all they have to do is focus on trying to be as consistent as they can, but they don't need to be perfect, and they just need to work through life with me because I want them to have holiday meals and enjoy meals out and learn how to, you know, eat well with, and like, they're never on a diet. They're working with their nutritionist to get healthy, like, because sometimes their best friends, their family are their worst enemies, unfortunately.
For sure. Yeah.
But yeah, it's the ones that literally don't freak out over every little thing. Because those are the ones that actually their body's going to work with us. It's not going to be constant stress, anxiety mode. Mm. And that's the issue that I see with model. Or the all or nothing mindset really is a make or break it.
Wow.
So a lot of ex-competitors that I get post, because I do a lot of like recovery. I do a lot of pre and postnatal too, ironically, even though I don't have kids. But I'm like living through them. Yes.
Yeah.
They're crying. I'll talk to you later. No, I'm just kidding. I do love my moms. But post-competitors sometimes have really trouble not being all or nothing because when you compete, it is way more strict, obviously.
Yeah.
So like doing it in a lifestyle way, they struggle because it's their body's like, oh, you're on a meal plan. You must be strict. And then they can't see the difference.
Yeah.
So yeah, the all or nothing mindset really, really is a difficult one.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining me on Pressure Tested.
Oh, I love you guys. Thank you so much.